And welcome to episode 43 of the Knitting Pretty podcast. It is June 7th, 2015. My name is Em. You can find me on the internet as Knit Fast Die Cozy, predominantly Ravelry and Instagram, but also Pinterest and Twitter. And you should totally come hang out because being social on social media is the point of social media. What else? Oh, there are show notes for the podcast at emmanitz.net. And there is also a Facebook page at facebook.com/emmanitz. You can find a Ravelry group for the podcast if you just search Knitting Pretty Podcast in the groups tab. And you should come join because thus far everybody who has joined is awesome. And you will be too. I can tell. So anyway, welcome to both new and returning listeners. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me for a while. I did want to say, I'm sorry, I had intended to record on Thursday. That is the goal, recording on Thursdays, and I'm going to continue to keep that as a goal because goals are good. But realistically, Mondays and Thursdays are my only days where I don't have my kid with me and I'm able to, you know, do errands and all that stuff that people need to do with their lives. And so sometimes it just doesn't work out. However, I am going to try and keep it so that it's no later than Sunday, which it is today. On those weeks that I can't get to it on Thursday. So every 2 weeks, Thursday, but sometimes not, you know, I'll do my best, I promise. But I'm sorry if you were looking for the episode and it wasn't there for you. On a more fun note, we have a giveaway to announce today. About a month ago, I announced that I was going to be giving away a skein of yarn from Sleeping Dragon Yarns that I had had in my stash, but had decided that it just wasn't singing to me anymore, and I wanted to pass it on to one of you. It is the Sleeping Dragon 100% Superwash Merino fingering weight yarn, and the colorway is Sugar Maple, and it's beautiful and warm yellows and oranges and dusty reds. It's very fall. Very pretty. Anyway, we had 19 entries into the giveaway, so I did a random number draw from numbers 2 to 20, and I drew the number 8, who is, ready for this, Jedi Chick 3. And she said, because the prompt was to tell us about a random act of kindness you had either been on the giving end or the receiving end of, and she was saying that a knitting acquaintance of her knitting group brought in a huge amount of supplies to give away to the knitting group and how kind that was. And I can totally hear you on that. I have some knitting friends who've done that and I've done it myself. And it's just wonderful to, you know, if you're clearing out your stuff, to share it around with your friends before just getting rid of it. Anyway, she said that she was hoping to make some donation hats with some of the yarn. And I think that's even better because not only was there a random act of kindness to give the yarn away, but also another one to spread that love around and pay it forward a bit. So, awesome. And thank you so much for that thread. I really, really enjoyed reading everybody's stories. It was very heartwarming and yeah, great thread. But Jedi Chick 3, contact me on Ravelry. My name's Knit Fast Die Cozy, which I've told you a million times, so, you know, at the beginning of every podcast. But still, contact me. Let me know your address, and I can send that yarn off to you post-haste. Thank you, everybody, for entering, and we'll do this again sometime soon. On to the actual podcast. In my past, I have finished one thing in the past 2 weeks. It is a skein of handspun. It was the Tweedy Alpaca that I was spinning, and it came from Coxsila Acres Farm, and it was a slightly brown-gray, sort of medium-toned alpaca with little neps of silk in pink and blue and yellow, all pastel colors. A little bit of white, too. And it spun up beautifully. It was a really pleasant spinning experience, although I did have 200 grams, so it kind of went on a bit. But once it was done, and I was very happy both to be finished with it and have a gorgeous skein of yarn. So from the 200 grams, I got 554 meters, which is 606 yards of sport weight in a two-ply. And I'm really actually very happy with that yardage. You know, it's sort of medium normal for a sport weight to be about 300 yards per 100 grams. And I do try generally with my handspun to get a little bit more yardage than that, even while keeping the same weight, just by having a little more air incorporated into the yarn. But when I've spun alpaca in the past, it's always end up incredibly dense. And so I'm really proud of myself that I only kept it a normal amount of dense. It's a beautiful yarn. I'm planning to make Architecture by Jennifer Weissman. It's a scarf stole thing that I talked about a couple weeks ago. And it requires a little bit more yarn than what I have, but it also requires a lighter weight yarn, so I figure I can sort of noodle with it and get something I'm happy with. But it's very pretty. It's just got texture, and it's knit on the bias, but not just a single diagonal. It's like an arrow. It's got a center line from which it biases out on either side. And just knits and purls, and it's really gorgeous and really simple, and I think in that gray with the little tweedy bits, it'll be a very, very pretty, functional piece of knitwear. I mean, for me, alpaca is, it tends to be too hot to actually wear, but, you know, maybe we'll get a cold winter this year, she says, dreading the record temperature summer that has been predicted. It's hot, y'all. Like, I mean, it's only 25 or 27 or something degrees Celsius right now, but that's too damn hot for me already, and it's only June. Yay! Oh well. Anyway, that's all I've finished. On to my present. The main thing I've been working on, I mean, I've been poking at my Evenstar and, you know, stuff like that, but really it hasn't made any measurable progress on that, because I've been spending all my time working on a sample knit for Caterpillar Green Yarns. And if you haven't heard of Caterpillar Green, you need to. She dyes self-striping yarn, but it's not just your usual, like, self-striping sock yarn with four rows of this, that, or the other thing. It's amazing. It's self-striping yarn to which really careful math has been applied. You can buy skeins from her that are for working shawls, triangular shawls from the top down, that the stripes will remain the same width throughout the shawl despite the fact that the rows get longer. She does sock skeins that have really interesting striping patterns, lots and lots of different colors, stripes of different lengths and, or widths, I guess. Anyway, you really need to get some of her yarn. And I know it's hard to get, and there's not much that can be done about that. Just keep an eye on, follow her on the social media, and keep an eye on her shop, because every once in a while, when she has finished a batch of orders, she'll open up the shop and sell all the things, and then catch up on all the dyeing to order. So it is available, and it's awesome yarn, and you should definitely at least go look at it. So what I'm sample knitting for her is from a skein of yarn that has two different colorways dyed into it. The first half is a turquoise gradient, and the second half is a light gray and dark gray stripe with a single turquoise stripe. And what I've done is divided the thing in half. So I have two separate skeins of yarn that look completely different. And then I am knitting a simple cowl in brioche so that the gradient shows on one side and the stripes show on the other. If you follow her on Instagram, you'll see she made a cowl like this a couple months ago, and it's awesome. And I'm really excited to be doing a sample for her shop. And what I'm going to do as I write it out, or I mean as I knit it, is write it out. Way to jump the gun on that one, Emma. Anyway, I'm writing out the pattern, so it will be a free pattern. It's too simple to charge for. It's really just brioche, but I'll write out a kind of beginner brioche how to make this thing, and that way she'll be able to have it in her booth when she is selling that style of colorway in case people want to make it. And you'll be able to get it for free on the interwebs as well. So that's coming along. I am more than halfway done. I'm about 70% done the thing. And then it's just a matter of writing the pattern. It should be done very soon. I'll keep you posted. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. First of all, her yarn has some cashmere content in it, which makes it unbelievably soft. And you would think, looking at brioche, that it would be stiff, but it's actually an incredibly, incredibly stretchy knitted fabric. Very stretchy, very, like, squishy and thick and malleable. Gorgeous. I love it. I have never knit brioche before, which is one of the reasons that I want to write out a pattern kind of for beginners. I can put in what I've learned through researching about how to do brioche, but also kind of address any things that I found really difficult or confusing about the instructions that I'd seen. And yeah, it's an amazing fabric, and because something about brioche makes the yarn you're working with even softer. I think it's just that it's kind of lofty and open and fluffy. Oh, it's so nice. So nice. So I'll put pictures up of that soon, whether before or after I finish it. But I kind of want to finish it first, because the cool thing about brioche when you do it in two colors is the different sides of your knitting can have a different colorway going on. And it's really hard to see that while it's on the needles. So anyway, keep your eyes peeled. The other thing I've been working on fairly exclusively is some sewing. You'll remember I talked recently about wanting to do a bunch of underwear sewing, and I also talked about sewing for men and the Comox trunks pattern. So I have combined those two things, and the intention was to turn my little crafting office room into a sewing sweatshop and whip out as many pairs of both men's and women's underwear as possible, because apparently both myself and my husband have worn through every pair we have, and they're all really gross. I did not know how awful my underwear were until I went to cut up the pairs I had for lining fabric. I figured, you know, the lining of the underwear doesn't have to be pretty, it just has to be cotton, so it was kind of perfect to reuse old things. And you know, when you're trying to lay these things flat and like the elastic's all wonky and gross and broken, and like, I was just like, I've been wearing some seriously ratty old underwear for way too long. So I'm really excited to have new ones. I'm going to be making the Seamwork Geneva pattern for myself. I modified it a bit by adding about an inch and a half to the top waistband, just because it is a lower hipster and I like things to come up a little bit higher than that. It doesn't come up, you know, to belly button height or anything, but just a little higher. I always feel like hipster underwear are going to fall down. Just if they're that low, that just, no. They just feel like they're always going to fall down, even when they're not. It's just, I think, because the elastic is at a point on your body where just by being there, it feels like they've already fallen down, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, added an inch and a half or so. And that might be too much. I'll figure it out when I finish the final pair. And for the hubby, I'm making the Comox trunks by Thread Theory. And I think I'm going to end up with 11 pairs for him and 12 for me. And I just happen to have very good luck with my local sort of larger fabric store, Fabricland. They have a sale on right now where with their membership, if you buy 1 yard of certain things, you can get 2 or 3 yards for free. And so I was able to spend $10 on 1 yard of fabric and get another 2 yards for the hubby's under things. And that was like enough for all of them. And then I went ahead and bought a buy one, get three free for me and got a whole lot of fabric and was able to make a dress for my daughter out of some of it. And I set some aside for like a yard and a half aside for more things in the future, and cut a bunch for myself. I also cut a bunch of pairs from my stash. I just had some sort of smaller scraps of knit fabric lying around, and I thought those would be perfect to use up for this project. I will say that the Comox trunk pattern is awesome. It's like, it's really good. The only thing is their yardage or meterage, I suppose, estimates for fabric is really generous. I bought enough fabric that I should have been able to make 6 pairs, maybe 6 pairs. Like, it was narrower than what was required for how much, I don't know, if you don't sew Fabric generally comes in 115 and 150 centimeter widths. This was 120. And I bought the amount I would need if it had been 150 to make two pairs per color of fabric. And I was able to get 11 pairs total out of that, plus some stuff for myself. So, yeah, their estimates are really generous. I think that you could get away with less, or perhaps buy a little bit more and make two. Anyway, I was all keen to do this. I've got everything cut out. I've got some of the initial sewing done. Everything's ready to go. And then, like an idiot, I wasn't paying attention and I sewed over a pin with my serger and broke the knife. And I feel like such an ass because I knew that was going to happen. And now it's expensive to fix. I mean, it's not that expensive, but it's irritating. Very irritating. Luckily, there is a sewing machine repair and supply store in town that I'm going to go check out on Monday to see if they have anything for me. But if not, I'm going to have to buy the parts off of eBay or something. One thing I will say for Brother sewing machines, like I really like both my regular sewing machine and my serger are Brother brand, and they've been very affordable and very reliable, very good machines. But the parts are damn hard to source. Like, the manual doesn't say what the part numbers are. The website doesn't say it. It's all incredibly frustrating. So I was able, after a bunch of Googling, to figure it out, and hopefully my local store has it. But if not, there are people who sell parts on eBay. It's all been very frustrating. But whatever. I'm going to have to put off the underwear sweatshop for a week or so and get back to it next week. I was a little disappointed by that, but whatever. It's fine. It's fine. One thing I should mention is I did try another pattern for women's underwear called Lady Shorts, and it's by Cloth Habit. It's a sort of boy shorts style, like, you know, wide at the sides kind of underwear. And I just found that I didn't like the pattern as much. I didn't like the way it fit me, but it is a free pattern. And so if you're looking into making some underwear for yourself and you like that kind of boy short fit, it might be a good one for you. First of all, just because it's free and it takes no time and almost no fabric to sew up a pair of women's underwear. So just if you're interested, give it a try. And if you don't like that pattern, there are many, many others. Or you can draft a pattern by cutting apart a pair of underwear you already have. Anyway. Enough about my underwear. On to the future. There's a couple patterns I wanted to talk about. One is called Starstruck, and it's by Juca Van Mulligan. And her first name is spelled not at all like it sounds. It's D-I-E-U-W-K-E. So if you're looking it up on Ravelry, that's how to spell it. But if you just go to the show notes, I'll have it all linked. Makes life easy for everyone. Anyway, it's a sideways knit tunic length t-shirt that's done in a really light fingering weight yarn. And it has stockinette for the sleeves and the sides of the sweater or tee thing. It's kind of a warm weather thing. But then the center is done in lace panels, both in the front and the back. And it's just very simple and very pretty. And, you know, it's got a really relaxed fit. It's meant to be worn with positive ease. And I think it would be an incredibly comfortable thing to wear in the summer, provided that you live in a climate where knits at all are reasonable in the summer, or sleeves for that matter. I could see it looking really pretty knit in linen or a cotton blend, maybe. She's got it done in silk, which gives it this incredible drape, and it's a beautiful color of yellow. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous t-shirt, and you should check it out. The second pattern I would like to knit is called Tiong Baru, and it's by Osa Tricosa. It's a crescent shawl with a really unique lace border that uses between 733 and 875 yards of lace weight yarn. The border has a sort of overall scalloped shape to it, but it's got some texture in it and larger lace holes and then just single yarn overs and then smaller ones, and it's very pretty and it's very unique, and I haven't seen a whole lot of stuff with that style of border on it, so it's pretty. I like it. And I have the perfect skein of yarn for it. Some handspun I did way back in the day that the yarn, or the fiber, was from Corgi Hill Farm, and it is a gradient from dark blue through turquoise to a sort of light pistachio green, and it's Wensleydale, and I spun it to a singles and then fold it. So provided that the yarn actually has the structural integrity that I hope it does, it was spun a long time ago. My skills have improved significantly since then. But provided it holds together, which I will find out when I eventually get to winding it, I would really like to knit this shawl with it. I think it would be really pretty. For show and tell, I don't have much to talk about this week, but I wanted to tell you about my purchases from the 100 Mile Fleece and Fiber Fair, which was on May 31st at the Bradley Center in Coombs, BC. First of all, I just want to say it's an awesome show. People, you know, bring really nice stuff, and it's a nice size. It's got lots of farmy things, but also some hand-dyed yarn and tools, and it's a fantastic show for spinners. If you're in the sort of general area, you should check it out. My favorite local dyer, Humming Bee Farms, was there, and I normally buy something from her, but I have a lot of her fiber still because sometimes I get a little carried away and buy too much at once. And in fact, last year I bought fiber for 3 pairs of socks, and I've only spun for one of them. So anyway, I wanted to kind of slow down a little bit so I didn't overbuy. So I just bought a skein of yarn from her, and it's a 100% merino wool non-superwash worsted weight yarn. And the colorway is fantastic. It's a combination of dark kind of wine purple and a lighter clay pistachio green color and warm tobacco brown and then some dark sort of olivey green. And it's really variegated. Normally I don't buy heavier yarns in a variegated colorway, but this yarn just was too pretty and I had to have it. So I did. And I don't know what I'm going to make with it. I think it wants to be a worsted weight hat. It would knit up quickly and look awesome. And I think hats, because they have, I don't know, you can just get away with a little bit of crazy variegation in a hat sometimes. So we'll see. Anyway, it's beautiful and I just like having it. I also bought some wool to spin, and it is sort of fondly by people around here called Igor. It's island-grown organic Romney, but that's a mouthful, and Igor's funny. So I got 3 colors. I got 100 grams each of a light gray, a medium warm sort of brownish gray, and then an almost pure black, which is actually fairly rare to find on any sheep to get it that close to black. It's got a warm tone to it, but it's very black. Apparently, the woman who milled the fiber said that fleece was originally intended by the owner to be a dog bed, like it was just going to be stuffed into a dog bed, and it's this really rare, really soft, beautiful fleece, and so instead she traded for a more suitable dog bed stuffing fleece and took the black to make it into beautiful roving. Thank goodness for that, because it's amazing. And it's all incredibly soft, and it's been put into a really fine, probably pin-drafted roving. It's very, very lightweight, and so pin-drafted would be my guess. Looks like it's going to spin beautifully. And I happen to have a sort of small sweater quantity already of very dark brown, but not quite black, organic Romney and, I think, Suffolk breed mix. Like, it's not Suffolk mixed with organic Romney. The sheep were Suffolk mixed with organic Romney. But it's still, it's quite similar in feel to this wool. It's just a little bit springier. And so I'm thinking of, instead of spinning what I had originally intended for that batch of wool, was to make maybe a lace weight sweater, because I didn't have that much of it. Instead, I think I'm going to spin it all to about a sport weight, do the 3 colors in their smaller quantities, and then this color in its larger quantity, and make a colorwork sweater. I think it'll be fantastic. It will be another sort of, like, my other hand-spun sweater, also from Island Grown Organic Romney, although that I did process myself rather than buying it from a mill that had already put it into roving. It's my favorite sweater, and I adore it, and it's held up so spectacularly well. And so I think it's time for another beautiful sweater. And so that's what I'm going to do with those. And I was just really excited to be able to get some really unique, beautiful wool from an island producer. And these colors, you guys, oh, they're gorgeous. The really light gray is beautiful. It's not got a whole lot of brown tone to it. It's just gorgeous. And the cool thing about Romney sheep, I was learning from the lady who was selling this stuff, and I can't remember where she mills. It might be the Qualicum fiber mill or whatever. Anyway, I'll link it in the show notes. I think that was her, but it might not have been. Anyway, the cool thing about Romney sheep is when they're born, the lambs are very dark colored, almost black. And so that black wool was from a lamb fleece. And then as they age, they get lighter and lighter, kind of like Lipizzaner horses or beluga whales, perhaps. Anyway, they start dark and they get lighter as they age. So these three colors are from sheep who are of different ages. That's why the fleeces are different colors. I thought that was kind of cool. I've also noticed that in the sweater I made that I was saying has held up so well. When I bought that fleece from the farmer, the sheep, Zaviera, it was her first fleece. And when I talked to that farmer again a couple years later, she was selling some more of Zaviera's fleece. Zaviera is a very fancy sheep. And it was a totally different color because she's aged a bit and her fleece has lightened. Still beautiful, but I felt that I had had enough Zaviera fleece in my life. But yeah, it's really cool. The things you learn about sheep from their farmers. Very cool. So that is all I have for show and tell today. On to my weekly obsessions. The first thing I wanted to talk about is plum barbecue sauce. So as I found that likely eating tomatoes does not agree with my stomach, which is a tragic thing because tomatoes are the best, I wanted to find a way to replace some sort of tomato-based condiments that, you know, I was missing. And I can live without ketchup, I don't care. I mean, I'm not yet sure I can live without just plain, nice, fresh, raw tomatoes, but we'll see. But I can live without ketchup, but barbecue sauce is really good. And I found a recipe on Pinterest, which I will link, it's already out on the internet, it doesn't need to be leaked. I will link this recipe for barbecue sauce made from plums. And I happen to have in my deep freezer a large bucket full of golden plums that I'd gotten from my sister's tree last year in the late summer. And these, I don't know if they're golden plums or yellow plums, whatever. They're the really little ones and they're very sour. And I think that was where I kind of went wrong with this recipe. And I'm not going to say it didn't turn out well because it did. It's really yummy. But because the plums were so sour, I had to add a lot more sugar than was called for. Like, a lot more. About three times as much. And even so, it's still very sour. However, realistically, that doesn't actually throw off the nutritional whatever of the barbecue sauce. Because if the plums had been sweeter, they would have just had their own natural sugar in them, which they would have still been bringing to the nutritional table, as it were. And so, you know, the sugar either has to come from the plums or it has to come from cane sugar or whatever. But either way, sugar had to be added where perhaps if you use sweeter plums, you wouldn't have to add so much. And also, it just wouldn't have been quite so tricky to get the right taste for the barbecue sauce. I still think it's a little too sour. It tastes a little more like plum sauce than barbecue sauce, perhaps unsurprisingly, but it's partly because of the tartness. Basically, the recipe calls for a whole whack of plums and onions and garlic, and then you spice it with allspice and cloves and cinnamon and coriander and a little bit of Worcestershire sauce. I think that word was invented just to irritate me. And also with some mustard and some hot peppers. And it's really good. We used it last night on some barbecued chicken burgers. It was just chicken breasts with barbecue sauce stuffed in burgers. Pretty simple. But it was delicious. So if you can't have tomatoes, or you just happen to have a bunch of plums languishing in the freezer, which I can't be the only person who gets kind of crazy with the free produce and then has nothing to do with it. It was a good recipe, and I'd recommend it. And somebody else on Instagram said that she had had an amazing barbecue sauce made with raspberries as well. So it would seem that barbecue sauce can be made with many different fruits, not just tomatoes, and the options are out there. My second obsession is that season 6 of Archer has been released on Canadian Netflix, and I am very happily watching it as quickly as possible. I would say it's not as good as the other seasons. It's very funny, but it's just not as funny. But I really like Archer, so I'm totally okay with it not being quite as good as the past seasons, because it's still awesome as far as I'm concerned. So yay that, it's been fun. My husband and I have been enjoying that very much. I particularly like the episode with Barry and and Pam's sister. I think that episode was spectacular. Speaking of TV, you know how I mentioned last time, 2 weeks ago, that I'd been watching Supernatural and they killed my cousin and I was super distressed by that? Well, the episode where there's a siren and it convinces people to kill their loved ones. At the beginning of the episode, there's a wife and she's all like being really sweet and making dinner, and then the husband comes home and beats her to death with a meat tenderizer, which was pretty horrific. Yeah, that was my cousin's wife. So they've killed off his family now in Supernatural. Thanks, Supernatural, for really stressing me out while I watch my various family members die. If you'd like, I have a couple more actors in the family that you could murder, if you like. But honestly, I'm kind of done with that. I'm really hoping that they don't do that anymore. But yeah, cousin and cousin's wife, dead to monsters in Supernatural. Awesome. It's actually really stressful. And I mean, I think watching that episode would have been hard anyway, because I find watching domestic violence, even, you know, when it's monster-induced, is pretty horrific. But knowing the person just makes it all that much more worse. Like, oof. Not cool, Supernatural. Jeez. Anyway, I think they've probably killed as many of my family members as they can. And they'll move on to somebody else's family now. My third obsession is I bought a pair of shorts. And I'm wearing them, and they're awesome. Shorts are awesome. You should buy shorts if you don't have shorts. I have been wearing not shorts for years. Capris. And just being way overheated in the summer because I didn't want my very white, rather lumpy legs to be out in public. And I admit I still feel self-conscious in these shorts. I mean, they're not short. They're like Bermuda length. They're just above the knee, and barely qualify as shorts, but I still feel self-conscious in them because I don't much love my knees, and that's fine. But they're so comfortable, and it's so nice not being overheated, and also, you know, some occasions just don't call for a dress. And mostly in the summer, I like to wear dresses because they are really nice and cool to wear. You don't have to wear pants at all if you're wearing a dress. But I just gotta say, shorts are really comfy and really awesome, and if you have been holding off on wearing shorts because you're concerned about what they look like on your body, try out the Bermuda length, first of all, because it's kind of nice to still have the experience of shorts with a little more coverage. You don't have to get short shorts. But the thing I've realized over the past couple of weeks is that nobody's looking. Like, really, nobody cares. And I realized that as, you know, just going about my daily business. And I realized I don't look at, you know, larger women in shorts and be like, ooh, larger woman in shorts. And I mean, there are some assholes out there who will be jerks about it. And, you know, it's go with the Dr. Seuss is, you know, those who matter don't mind and those who mind don't matter. But realistically, most people are not looking. and it's the summer and it's hot. And if you are holding back on being comfortable because you're concerned what other people think, I really hope that at least at home you can be comfortable instead of worried, because it's so much nicer to be comfortable, and I guarantee you will look fantastic. Even, like, looking fantastic has nothing to do with your size at all. And this is something that I have come to realize more and more as time has gone on, that the most beautiful women I know are in the most diverse range of sizes, and they all look fantastic, and it has nothing to do with weight, it has nothing to do with whether or not they have dimply knees, or their legs never get a tan, or whatever. Like, beauty is so unconnected to that, and so I'm just trying to grab onto that and be comfortable this summer and not overheat myself just because I am ashamed of myself. And that's just sort of my wish for the world. You know in Mean Girls, when they're all doing like the confessional thing at the school when they're trying to make everybody be friends again, and there's that girl, like, I just wish I could bake a cake and fill it full of rainbows and sunshine. You know, that girl, I feel like that girl, and I'm sorry because I know it's really obnoxious, but just, I'm totally that girl. Except I want to bake the cake and fill it full of shorts and being comfortable in the summer and everybody being comfortable with their bodies and the jerks who feel like they have to say something about it just taking a hike in shorts. Okay, that's enough of that. So, have an awesome week. 2 weeks? Yes, 2 weeks. And I will speak to you again soon. I hope you get to spend lots of time crafting and spending time with the people you love. Happy knitting!